Welcome aboard the Story Ark. I'm your captain, Kenny Mears, and let's take a voyage together.
Everyone we meet leaves some kind of impression on us, from passing acquaintances to dear friends and family members. Some leave us for the better, and others for the worse. Today's storyteller, Jeff Driggs, is here to share the story of how a school teacher left an impression on his life. Here's Jeff with his story.
Hi, my name is Jeff Driggs, and I am a member of the Utah Storytelling Guild. I've been in the guild for about 3 years now, and I'm enjoying telling stories at various festivals and events around the state. This story that I'm going to tell you now, like most of the stories I tell, is a true story from my life. And so this is about an experience I had with a teacher in grade school. And so here it is. Mrs. Morris was a terrible teacher. Now, since it was her first year of teaching right out of college, we sixth graders should have cut her a little slack, but we were used to quality education at Oak Heights Grade School. You might think that our complaint about her was that she was too strict, but that wasn't the case. We had had strict teachers before. Miss Fawn, our third grade teacher, was tough. She ruled her classroom with an iron fist. She knew the teacher's job was to lead and the student's job was to obey, and we were fine with that. No, if anything, Mrs. Morris was too permissive. She came with these crazy ideas that sixth graders should be accountable for their own actions and responsible for their own decisions, and that just didn't set well with Mary Beth Markham and me. I mean, sure, we were mature, responsible 11-year-olds, but some of our classmates, like Jamie Derby, for example. Jamie Derby was a bully, but, well, I'll talk about Jamie in a minute. But one example of how permissive Mrs. Morris was, she let us sit wherever we wanted in the classroom, and we could decorate our desks however we liked. I chose a desk right up front where I could keep an eye on her. That's where most of my other teachers had me sit, so I was comfortable with that. And I took a picture of an old pen pal of mine and taped it to the front of my desk, and I told people that his name was Robinson Brockmeyer Jr., that he was a cousin of mine. His father was a powerful California politician, and his mother was a bigwig in Hollywood. She was going to get me into the movies. I can't believe Mrs. Morris fell for that. Anyway, we just had an odd time together. You know, if I'm going to tell you about Robinson Brockmeyer Jr., I really need to tell you the story of Chauncey Dudley III, because, you see, that was me. I had figured out that the man and woman who were raising me as their own could not be my real parents because they were so mean to me. I mean, they made me clean my room, take out the garbage. I couldn't stay up late to watch Night Gallery. One time, my mother made me sit out and weed the garden in the hot summer sun. Now, what kind of loving parents do that to their child? So, no, I knew that I wasn't theirs. In fact, I figured out that my name was Chauncey Dudley III and that my parents were millionaires in Chicago and the Driggses had kidnapped me as an infant so they could someday get a hold of my inheritance. I'm not sure Mrs. Morris fell for that one, though. She called me imaginative, which is true because that was the year that I decided to write a Christmas play all on my own. It wasn't a class assignment. It wasn't for extra credit or anything. I just wrote this play, and I came up with the props and things for it and got some of my classmates. And then here's an example of how bad Mrs. Morris was. She just threw out her lesson plans one day and to have us put on the play in the back of the classroom. She even had Mr. Bolin, our school principal, come and sit and watch the play. That was really cool. And what was I saying? Oh, yeah, Mrs. Morris. Ah, she was just this terrible teacher. Well, speaking of this, the back of the classroom. See, Marybeth and I were avid readers. She and I both read a lot of mystery stories, like The Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew, The Happy Hollisters. We figured we would make for great detectives. Plus, I had been reading a lot of Perry Mason novels, learned a lot about courtroom procedure, and so I figured out that I could be a great attorney. Well, we asked Mrs. Morris, and she let us take some of the empty classroom, empty desks in the back of the classroom, and we put signs on them. There was the Markham Detective Agency, the Driggs Law Firm, and in between there was Problem Solvers Incorporated. That was really the only one that got any business. We would sit there during lunch hour or during a recess if it was a rainy day, and people could come and sit down. They'd come to Problem Solvers Incorporated, tell us their problem, and give us a nickel, and we would give them some advice. Think Lucy Van Pelt in Peanuts, that kind of thing. In fact, Mrs. Morris herself came and sat down with me once at Problem Solvers Incorporated. You see, her husband, Mr. Morris, was the other sixth grade teacher at Oak Heights. And apparently he had this student who was a real problem in class. She was what I would call a flibbertigibbet. She had her head in the clouds, kind of like Anne of Green Gables or Pippi Longstockings, always making up fanciful stories and tall tales. A real problem in class, you know? Well, I told Mrs. Morris to tell Mr. Morris to tell this student that Mrs. Morris had a student like that and ask that girl what her advice would be for taking care of it. Because I figured that that would make that girl think. And she would realize that she was the problem. And you know, the funny thing is, it made me think too. And I realized that I had no idea how clueless some kids could be. But another thing about Mrs. Morris was the silly rules she had. Like this one, for example. You could stand anywhere in the classroom and throw a piece of trash at the waste paper basket, and if you made it in, great. But if you missed, she would write your name on the board. And if you missed again, or you misbehaved in some other way, she would start making check marks by your name. And once you got so many of these demerits, she would give you this punishment. Now, I don't remember what the punishment was, because it was about this time that our class started behaving better anyway. But the point is, it just made no sense. It was like she was rewarding you for good aim or good sense or something. But the worst thing about Mrs. Morris was that she was so wishy-washy. If two students had a problem and a disagreement, we'd go to her. She refused to settle it. She wouldn't take sides. It was like she couldn't make up her own mind because she was so wishy-washy. She would make the students work it out on their own, like with Jamie Derby and me. Like I said, Jamie Derby was a bully. He used to trip me in the hallways, knock shoulders against me when he passed me by, threatened to beat me up after school. Well, one day he came to Problem Solvers Incorporated, sat down. "What's your problem?" I said. "Guess," he said. Well, I had an idea. "Me?" I said. "Yep," he said. It seems that Jamie just didn't appreciate my style, my creativity. So we talked it through a little bit, and we came to an agreement. I agreed to be less of a dweeb, and he agreed to not beat me up. And I got a nickel out of him. But it was no thanks to Mrs. Morris. She hadn't done anything at all because she was just so wishy-washy. And Mary Beth and I weren't going to put up with that any longer. We decided that we were going to write her a letter that would get her quaking in her boots. So one night, I got out my mom's typewriter and I wrote Mrs. Morris a letter. I said I was from the parents' committee of the school district, and we had heard about her silly rules and how wishy-washy she was, and that she needed to straighten up and fly right. I signed the letter Sterling Atherton IV, because I knew that was a powerful name that would make her sit up and take notice. Well, I had decided that if I got caught in this thing, that I was going to be a gentleman and I wouldn't reveal that Mary Beth was part of this scheme. So the next day at school, when the class went out to recess, I slipped the letter onto Mrs. Morris's desk. And when we came back in from recess, I was sitting at my desk and I watched as she went over to her desk, saw the letter, picked it up, read through it, then looked up at me and said, "Jeff, let's go out in the hall." As soon as we went out into the hall room, I said, "Mary Beth did it too." Well, we stood there and talked for a little bit, and I explained my concerns to her, and then she had me go down to Mr. Boland's office and explain my concerns to him too. But you know, the funny thing about this is that after that, Mrs. Morris and I got along pretty well. Even by the end of the school year, you could even say we were friends. As a matter of fact, the next year, when they would pass me by in the mornings when I was walking to school in the rain, Mr. and Mrs. Morris would often stop and give me a ride to the junior high. Yeah, Mrs. Morris had been a terrible teacher, but I made her a better one.
The Story Arc is a production of Food for Thought Audio. This episode was written, produced, and edited by me, Kenny Mears. We'd like to thank today's storyteller, Jeff Driggs, for sharing his story. Jeff is the president of the Utah Storytelling Guild. Be sure to check him and the guild out at www.utahstorytellingguild.website. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, or wherever you listen to podcasts for more content. And until next time, thanks for listening.